Well, let's begin our first session with and our first ever Nurturing Godly Home seminar. We're going to talk on marriage, a chance to die. Not the title that you would think, but I promise you it's good news. Maybe if you're married or looking to get married, maybe you already know where I'm going, hopefully. So yes, Nurturing a Godly Home seminar, marriage, a chance to die. I took the title of this message, A Chance to Die, from Elizabeth Elliot's book on Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary to India. Elliot wrote that book, and her title of that book about Amy Carmichael was A Chance to Die. And I've always looked at the book on my shelf and thought, you know, that'd be a great title for a marriage book. And I'll explain in just a minute. But anyways, if missions, in other words, and missions work can be summed up by the phrase, a chance to die, I think it's fair to say that marriage and marriage work also offers us a chance to die. Not in the same way. Obviously, there's difficulties, hardships, trials in missions, so I hear. But marriage in a different way, that we would die so that our spouse, and actually we would also live, actually. So there's life in death, which is a really a gospel principle, isn't it? So if it's true for missions, I think it's true for marriage, and then we'll get there in just a moment. So whether you are married tonight or wanting to be married or have a healthy marriage by your standards or God's standards or have a struggling marriage, all right? The main point I want to get across today that if you want, and I hope you do, a healthy marriage, you must die to yourself. That's the main thrust of tonight's lesson. If you want a healthy marriage, you must die to yourself. Everything in your life, in other words, must be on the table to die so that there may be life and beauty in your marriage. So I have two texts, okay? I'm going to try to get these messages are going to be a little shorter. I have two texts that I want to draw this from, one general text and one specific, all right? So turn to John 12, would you? I love talking about marriage, by the way. I love marriage. I love my marriage. I love marriage in general. I love the scriptures on marriage. So I'm really looking forward to the next several minutes I have with you. John 12, not exactly probably the scripture you might think about marriage, but just bear with me just a moment. John 12, 20, verse 20 to verse 25. Okay? Everyone there? All right. If you're not, catch up. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Just a couple of observations I want to make in John 12. Okay, the context mentioned here, the feast that they've come to is Passover. Verse 20, they've come to worship at the feast. You see that? That's Passover. And evidently, according to the text, some Greeks have traveled to Jerusalem to partake in Passover. And this is what they would do. Now, they're there for Passover, but their ultimate purpose, as you can see, is to see Jesus, right? Verse 21, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So they find a couple of Jesus' disciples, Philip and Andrew in particular, and then these two disciples tell Jesus, I think presumably, what the Greeks said and why they came. So that's the context, okay? And Jesus responds to Philip and Andrew, verse 23, look at it. Jesus responds to Philip and Andrew saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat," typical Jesus using a word picture, "falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." So Jesus, using a word picture of a grain of wheat dying, okay, or being buried, you could say. And as this grain of wheat dies, Jesus says, that's when it bears much fruit. And of course, Jesus is talking about himself in verse 23. You can see that, right? The verse 23 is primarily about Christ being the grain of wheat who will soon die, right? And then bear much fruit. He's going to give life to the church. He's actually going to give birth to the church by his death and resurrection. So the primary thrust of the text is really about Jesus, okay? It's not really, disclaimer, it's not really about marriage, okay? It's really about Christ and the gospel, okay? But there's a secondary point, if we can sneak it in, okay? And that's where you and I come in. Verse 25, whoever. You see that shift? He first talks about the Son of Man being like a grain of wheat needing to die. Then he's going to bear much fruit. And then he switches and he says, verse 25, whoever. So here's you and me in this text right here. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And in other words, you're now the grain of wheat. Okay? Christ is at first, but now you're the grain of wheat. And if you want life, Jesus says, you, like the grain of wheat, must die. He says it's in hating your life, losing your life, dying to your life, where fruit begins to occur. Okay, so that's a general Christian discipleship principle. You want joy, and you want peace, and you want everlasting hope and help in your Christian life. Die to yourself, okay? And Christ will bear the fruit through his word, by his spirit in your life. Okay, that's the general Christian principle, which means, I think, if it's true for the Christian individually, it's also true for a Christian marriage. So, second text, okay? Ephesians 5. We got to go to Ephesians 5. Well, Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 24. So, is everyone tracking? Chance to die. All right, this is good news. Dying is good, according to Jesus. And I think Paul uses two words, one for the wife and one for the husband. Again, if you're not married, we're glad you're here, but take this with you someday, Lord willing, if you are married. I think Paul uses two, or if you do get married, Paul uses two words to describe our dying in marriage. One is submit for the wife, and the word for husband is love. And we'll get to these in just a moment. Let me set the context just for a moment. There's a connection in these verses talking about wives and husbands in Ephesians 5:21. That is, Paul has been highlighting the Spirit-wrought grace in mutual submission to one another. And now here in the context of marriage, Paul picks up on the grace of submission and applies it to wives in their relationship with their own husbands. So ladies, you're up first. Okay? We'll get to the husbands. Okay? Wives, verse 22. Submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, when Paul says in everything, of course, it's not an absolute statement in terms of if he encourages you to disobey the Lord, things like that, right? So it's not entirely of everything, all right? We wouldn't obey our husband if he calls us to sin, in other words, okay? We must obey God rather than, that's right, that includes your husband if he's calling you to sin, okay? So just putting that aside. With John 12 in the background, okay, Christian principle of dying, you want life, you want health in your life, okay? With John 12 in the background, the way a wife dies to herself and thus bears fruit is by submitting to her husband. So let's talk about what submission is not first, okay, and then what it is. Submission, ladies, is not an acknowledgement that your husband is superior. Okay? Submission is not pandering to your husband's every whim. It is not acknowledging that your husband is more spiritual, wiser, or more intelligent. Ask Jamie. He may be. He's not. He may not be. Submission is actually a lot harder than that, to be honest with you. It's a lot harder. So what submission is, here it is. And I have a short definition and a longer definition. Okay? Fair enough? Short definition. Submission is a voluntary yielding in love. So there you are, wife, you're hearing this, and you're like, the world tells me to submit. My heart tells me to submit. I don't want to do it. Okay? This is not a good word. This is a dying word. And Jesus says it's a good word. It's not a bad word. The Bible loves this word. If you understand it correctly, submission is a voluntary yielding in love. Voluntary, so it's intentional. It's deliberate. And it's unsolicited. It's yielding, meaning it defers, it's softening, and it's a giving to. Okay, so voluntary yielding and in love. So your submission is to be done in or with affection, in other words. Ungrudgingly, is that a word? Heidi says, okay, I like it. Ungrudgingly. To submit sweetly, okay? So we're talking about the heart, aren't we? Not just deeds or behavior, we're talking about the heart. So submission, in other words, is dying. Dying like the grain of wheat so that life may come in your own heart and in the life of your marriage. Longer definition. Okay, real quick. Submission is recognizing and embracing the fact that your husband is the God-appointed head and leader of your relationship and home. Okay? Notice also, look at the text, that submission is also part of the wife's obedience to Christ. Paul says, submit to your own husbands, verse 22, as to the Lord. In other words, submission is not a demeaning calling. And I feel like I just got to say that in the context of which we live in our culture. Submission is not a demeaning calling. It pleases and glorifies Christ. That's what it means to do it unto the Lord. It glorifies Him. It pleases Him as you submit to your husband in a voluntary yielding in love. Okay? One clarification I want to make before I move to the husbands. A wife's submission to her husband will reflect her God-given personality and temperament. Okay? I think that's very important to make. There are not cookie-cutter Christian marriages all the time. Well, this wife does, her submission looks like that, so my wife's submission must look like this. No, God takes into account the wife's God-given personality and temperament. Some women are naturally of a quiet disposition, while others are more outgoing. Submission is not monochrome, in other words, nor is it absent of discussion and even debate. Okay? Spirited debate sometimes. Lene's like, yeah, I see. Now you're talking my language, Pastor Ryan. A husband needs the vital input and wisdom of his wife as he seeks to lead his family in the ways of Christ. So submission is a voluntary yielding in love, which is why marriage for the Christian wife is a chance to die. I'm not a woman nor a wife, but I imagine submission would be very difficult. It is your word to die, so that life may come. To die, ladies, to your own way? To die to your agendas? To die to your expectations? Maybe even to die to your career? Everything is on the table in marriage. Everything is on the table to die. If you want life, if you want life, if you don't want life and you want it to be very, very difficult, keep everything close to the chest. Protect everything. Give nothing up. Okay. But if you want life, it's all on the table, Lord, to die. Husbands, your turn. Verse 24. I just want to make a couple of observations. I can't say everything about this text. Husbands. If the wife's command is hard, you've heard this before, the husband's command is even harder and more daunting to fulfill. Husbands, verse 24, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Man, what time is it? Okay. Again, with John 12 in the background, okay, the grain of wheat, Christian principle, dying, life, okay? The way a husband dies to himself is by loving his wife. Now, what does that mean and look like? Well, Paul tells you, love your wife, look at your Bibles, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So, I take that to mean that the love of a husband, the way he dies, is selfless sacrifice. All right, husbands? So you're here tonight and you're single and you're looking for someone to marry perhaps, and you're, what should I look for? Look for a man who dies for you, for his bride, in a selfless sacrificial way. In the same way, Paul says, that Christ gave himself up for his bride, the church, so the husband is to give himself to his bride. Not just his energy, not just his time, but the text says, give yourself, husbands. And I think what Paul is getting at here, friend, is that love seeks not its own. Love empties itself for the good of the beloved. Let me offer you a couple of questions, husbands. How do you lay aside what you want in order to pursue what your wife wants? How do you anticipate her needs? Headship, rule, and authority, which we all have as husbands, given to us by God, are not domineering. They are not overassertive, and they are not heavy-handed. Why? How do we know that? Is Christ domineering with his bride? Is he overly assertive? Is he heavy-handed with the church? Now, Christ is so gentle with his bride and so tender with her. So, husbands, this is not a suggestion for you to consider to love your wife in this way. That is a command for the Lord Jesus to obey. Secondly, and then I'm going to add just a couple of practical things and I'll be done. Second, the love of a husband, we talked about selfless sacrifice. The love of a husband is thoughtfully tender. Verse 29, thoughtfully tender. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. The two key words, and you know this, husbands, is nourish and cherish. Maybe what you don't know is that both terms are drawn from the language of a nursery. We should probably have over our nursery, Heidi, nourish and cherish these little kids. So these two terms, nourish and cherish, are drawn from the language of a nursery, like you would handle little babies. Cherish, the root meaning of that word, is to give kind and generous comfort. See the disposition of a husband? It's never harsh. It's never overbearing. Okay? So Christian husbands should be noted for their kind, thoughtful, tender, affectionate, and supportive way they lead their wives. Now, there's a lot talked about today of biblical masculinity. And quite frankly, I don't hear that much of this in the discussion. And that is sad. Because that is what biblical masculinity is, at least, at minimum, in part. All right? It is not about being overly domineering and overly assertive. No, it's about giving up your life for your pride and being tender for her. And 1 John 3:18 says to do this both in word and in deed. So you speak words of kindness, and your tone is kind and tender, thoughtfully kind, and also your deeds are. All right? And that is why marriage for the Christian husband is a chance to die. To die to your own way. To die to your agendas. To die to your expectations. And maybe even your career. Perhaps it's all on the line, all on the table for you as well. If your career is getting in the way of marriage and family time, maybe it's time for that to die. If you want life. So, marriage is a chance to die to yourself. If you want life, be that grain that's buried in the dirt, all right? And God, by his grace, will give you fruit, make you live. But you got to die to yourself. Hardest thing to do in the Christian life. Let me give you a couple of practical points, okay? And we'll be done. This is something our premarital pastor told Jamie and I, and I'm just going to, I swear by this, by the way, and I think I've probably told everybody in this church about this, okay? So let me just repeat myself again, okay? I love this. Sunday evening chats, okay? Or Lord's Day conversations, if you want to be, you know, We call them Sunday evening chats. Very early in our marriage, Jamie and I, again, this was advice given to us in our premarital, praise God for Ben Patterson, we made it a point almost every Sunday night to sit down and guess what? Talk. What a concept. To look in the face of your beloved and talk. We talked about our week past, what was hard, what was challenging. Okay. We talked about the week ahead. We got out our calendars. Here's what's going on. Okay. Here's what we need prayer for. We talked about personal struggles of faith. We talked about what we were reading and what we needed prayer for. We did a lot of talking. We talked about our families and friends, those we loved. No, I'm just kidding, about everybody. And we prayed for them. But most importantly, in these Sunday evening chats, we talked about our marriage. That's all we did. That's all we did, is we talked about our marriage. I would ask Jamie, here's how it works, or worked. We don't do it every Sunday night now, but we do it occasionally. I would ask Jamie how I could further my Christ-likeness to her. And I invited her to be honest and clear. And she would. You think Jamie's a little softy, but she's got some punch to her. Okay? I would say something like this. In what ways can I be more Christ-like to you and lay down my life for you, Jamie? And she'd say, well, here's the list. And she would do the same thing with me. In what ways, Ryan, can I model the church to you? How can I honor you and submit to you and love you more in our marriage? And then, after we did some plank taking and spec taking, okay? This was the fun part. We would tell each other what we love about one another. Quite the concept, isn't it? We would just sit there and tell each other what we love about one another. Here's what I love about you. Okay? It would go from spiritual to physical to anything. It's marriage, a Christian marriage. Come on now, you know? All right? We would tell each other what we love about one another. And I think it's hard to overstate how the Lord used those Sunday evening chats. It's not much, but just a little intentionality. And those chats proved to go a long way. A long way. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for the gift of marriage. Help us to be like this grain of wheat, like you, Lord, who died and therefore bore fruit and gave life to so many around the globe. Help us to be that, to see marriage as a context to die to ourselves, so that by your grace, you might bear fruit in us and in our marriage. In Christ's name, amen.